Hi, my name is Blythe Ahlberg, and I would like to welcome you to the Cut the Fat podcast. Visit us at www.cutthefatpodcast.com. If you're new to us, we suggest that you listen to the first 3 to 5 podcasts for the basic toolbox on fat loss.
Well, hello, everybody. My name is Dr. Ray Heinisch.
And I'm Blythe Ahlberg, and we would like to welcome you to the first official Cut the Fat podcast.
We are thrilled to be here with you, and we know that you're going to get tons of great information from this podcast, which is devoted to helping you achieve the body that you deserve and desire. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started with the first official podcast, which we have entitled The Quick Start Guide to Fat Loss.
Sounds great. I'm excited.
Yeah, this is a very exciting podcast because basically what we're going to do is give you guys all of the tools that you need to get started right now on your fat loss journey, right?
That's right.
Now, I don't care what kind of experiences you've had up to this point. I realize that many of you guys are frustrated because you've done all these different diets. You've tried all kinds of exercise. You've made various lifestyle changes, and the results that you've gotten have not been up to par. I understand. Trust me, I feel your pain. But this podcast is about wiping the slate clean and getting started from a whole new set of rules, right?
Sounds great. Yep.
Okay, so before we get started, let's go ahead and tell people a little bit about ourselves so they know who's talking to them.
Absolutely.
Okay, Blythe, why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, sure thing. I'm a 34-year-old mother of three. I am a figure competitor, professional figure competitor, actually. I've competed in a number of organizations as a bodybuilder, as a bikini model, all sorts of stuff. I am also a competition coach, meaning I get people ready for shows, whether it be bodybuilding, figure, or bikini.
And a lot of what you do basically is helping people maintain their muscle mass while losing as much fat as possible, right?
That's right. I help people get lean.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. How about you?
Well, I'm a pharmacist, and I know a lot of people are thinking, what is a pharmacist doing teaching us about fitness and fat loss? But it's my belief that the pharmacy program, which is really built around understanding the biochemistry of the human body, is really well suited for this type of work. Now, in addition to getting my PharmD, which I got from the University of Maryland School of Pharmacy, I also received my Certified Nutritionist Certification as well as my Certified Personal Training Certification. So my whole focus has been to help people achieve health and vitality through as natural a means as possible, mm-hmm. through diet, exercise, overall lifestyle, as well as supplementation. So hopefully we can, between the two of us, help people achieve their fat loss goals. What do you say?
I think so. I think we've both applied it to our own lives, and we'd like to share our experiences.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and just jump in and get started.
Okay. So one of the first things I want to talk about today is setting up a system to monitor our fat loss results.
Very, very important. And it's important that we talk about this first, because if you don't have a good system for monitoring your results, then you're never going to know whether or not your program is working.
Right. You're going to kind of set yourself up from the beginning for failure.
Right. Especially if you're relying just on the scale as your tool for assessing your results, right?
Yes. So let's push the scale aside for a moment and let's talk about another way of monitoring your results.
Right. Now, we're going to dedicate a podcast to some more advanced ways of assessing results. We'll talk about fat calipers. We'll talk about bioimpedance, which are these scales and machines that send a little electrical system signal through the body in order to determine how much body fat there is.
There's all sorts of cool things out there.
We'll talk about all those in a future podcast. But for now, to get people started, go ahead and use your scale, but use it in combination with other tools, such as?
A MyoTape is a great one. If you do not already own a MyoTape, you can get one at your local health food store. It's same thing, actually, as a flexible measuring tape.
Yeah, the only difference, really, is it takes one of the variables out of the picture, which is how tightly you squeeze the tape, right?
Yes.
if you want to put it around your leg, you basically latch it onto itself, you push a button, and it
cinches the tape in for you.
Right. The exact same pressure every time you use it.
Yeah, which is great if you're doing this all by yourself.
Right. Now, if you don't have a MyoTape right now, go ahead and just use a flexible tape that you have, or do it tomorrow. Go out to the store and pick one up.
Yeah, easy enough. I would choose 3 or 4 areas that you know, especially for you, are your trouble areas. Women, I always say measure your waist, hips, and legs. You can also throw your arms in there if you want to. They're a little bit hard to measure, though. That's a tricky one. So if you have a MyoTape, that's a great area
right.
to measure.
And keep track of them and monitor over time. this is a way that you're going to know whether or not the program's working, right?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Okay, great. So let's go ahead and do the second point, which is really getting right into the diet, right?
Yes.
Now, we are going to talk about diet in detail in many future podcasts, right? And we're going to offer many different dietary options for people.
Mm-hmm.
But for now, if we're talking about the general population, what is the best thing they can do right now to make a positive change?
Since diet is 80% of your result, you want to make sure that you're eating the right things.
Absolutely.
One of the worst things that probably all of us are eating are refined carbohydrates.
Okay.
Just by cutting out refined carbohydrates out of your diet and replacing that with raw fruits, vegetables, natural foods make a huge difference in
now,
your diet.
I realize everybody who's out there is familiar with the Atkins program or a high protein, low carb program.
Mm-hmm.
Many of you have tried them, I'm sure. But what we are recommending that you do here is go back to the mentality, not the program. Don't go back to, say, the Atkins program where you've dropped out carbs to almost none.
Right.
Just start to pull out some of those refined carbohydrates and replace them with raw, enzyme-filled, vitamin, mineral-filled foods that will nourish your body. That alone will have a dramatic impact on whether or not you're losing weight, right?
That's right. Yep.
Now, you know, I had an email from somebody today who was the way they labeled themselves is they were severely obese. And they wanted to know what type of change they can make. And what I said to them was this. I said, most of the people who are in your situation who have lost and gained weight over and over again,
mm-hmm.
one of the problems is with their mentality, with their thought process.
Yeah.
They're always focused on weight loss, on fat loss. And what I am recommending that you do is shift your focus from fat loss to just being healthy, living healthy. If you're talking about losing 100 pounds, that's something that's not going to happen for months.
Mm-hmm.
But you can make a decision to eat this meal that's in front of you right now in a healthier fashion.
You can get healthy today, tomorrow,
absolutely.
This week. Make healthy choices and you'll get there.
Absolutely. So, and that's what this recommendation does,
mm-hmm.
is it basically is saying pull out the refined carbohydrates, which is the number one cause of disease in our society today, mm-hmm. I would say.
Processed foods. We all know what refined carbohydrates
yes.
are.
And just replace them with healthy living foods.
Mm-hmm.
Fruits, vegetables. You can also throw nuts in there. What about protein? What should people do for protein?
Protein is definitely important. It is the only way to build muscle. And I know we're going to get into this a little bit later on.
Oh, yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
muscle is what makes up your metabolism. It's what makes up, you know, how fast you burn calories, how many calories you can eat in a day.
Absolutely. And, you know, why not get into it now? Because basically that's all I want to say on diet right now. Because
okay.
it's so simple, isn't it?
It is very simple.
For now, it's simple. Mm-hmm. And like I said, keep listening to our podcast because we are going to talk about more advanced ways of kind of fine-tuning that philosophy, right?
Mm-hmm. And different ideas on foods and things like that.
But you don't need all that right now.
No.
You can get started today, actually, in this moment to change your diet and just do what we just said, right?
I think all people truly know the answer. You know the healthier choice.
Mm-hmm.
Make it.
Right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So here's one area where I think people get it wrong when we're talking about fat loss,
mm-hmm.
and that is the type of exercise that you should do in order to lose the fat. What would you say is the number one or the most important foundational exercise that you need to do?
Okay. I know you and I both agree on this. Weight training, bottom line. Weight training, you know.
It builds muscle, and muscle builds metabolism. Too many people focus on the aerobic activity, right?
Most programs advise that you start off on an aerobic activity.
And there's nothing wrong with aerobic activity.
No, I would say do that as well. But for your body to be able to hold up, say all of a sudden you decide to do 5 days of aerobic activity and you've been doing, you know, 2 days of barely anything. How is your body going to hold up through that if your ligaments, your tendons, your joints, if everything's not used to that? Weight training will prepare your body for
the rigors of aerobic
yes.
activity.
Yeah, and getting better and progressing as you go.
Right. So the more muscle you have, the more energy you're going to burn all day long, right?
Yes.
So if you put on, let's say, 5 pounds of muscle, mm-hmm. which isn't a lot of muscle, really. It's not going to turn
spread
a woman
your entire
into
body.
Right.
It's not. No.
It's not going to turn a woman into Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No,
right?
And I know that's a very, very common misunderstanding through women. You will not get big and bulky. I don't care if you lift 50-pound dumbbells for your bicep curls. You are not going to have biceps like Arnold Schwarzenegger. It just won't happen.
And it doesn't happen overnight, even when your body is changing. Mm-hmm. If you get to the point and you say, oh, my legs are getting too muscular, you can just start working other muscles more and cut back on the amount of leg work that you're doing.
Sure.
So you have that option. But for 99% of you ladies out there, you don't have to worry about becoming too big and bulky, right?
Right. Yep.
And you're an expert in this because this is what you do, right?
Yeah, this is what I do. And I lift very, very heavy. I weight train very, very vigorously. And I'm very much on the small side.
Right. Yeah, you're not Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, I'm not.
So, yeah, weight training, very important.
For now, sure.
Again, we're not saying aerobic activity isn't important. It's helpful. But if you put on 5 pounds of muscle, and let's say you gain a good 30 to 50 calories of metabolism mm-hmm. per pound that you put on.
Fantastic.
Well, you've just basically, just by sitting in your chair all day long, you're burning the equivalent of a 30-minute walk.
Yeah. How great is that?
Yeah.
I think a lot of people just don't know that.
Plus, when you do aerobic activity, the more muscle you have on your body, the more calories you will burn while you're cycling.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why weight training should make up the foundation.
Yes.
And then let's talk a bit about aerobic activity.
Okay.
What would you say would be the best approach as far as getting people started right now to building aerobic fitness as well as burning fat?
There are so many different theories out there about what is the best type of aerobic activity. Some of you may have heard of HIIT training, high intensity interval training, mm-hmm. but is not somewhere as a beginner you want to start. I would say interval training, not the high intensity, just the interval training is somewhere a great place for most people to start.
So interval training is basically this. You walk and you jog. You mm-hmm. walk and you jog. You walk and you jog. So basically you're going up and down as far as your intensity goes, mm-hmm. right?
You can start with like a 5-minute walk and a 1-minute run. 5-minute walk, 1-minute run. And then as you progress through the program, walk for 3 minutes, run for 2. You can keep changing it up.
And the point is to decrease the amount of time that you are walking and increase the amount of time in your exercise that you are running and
yes.
the intensity that you're running as well.
Yes.
So like I said, you may start with walking and you might start with walking and then going to a power walk.
Yeah.
If you can't go to a jog.
Or just add an incline.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there are many ways to do this. You might look up interval training. We'll have resources on our website over the coming weeks to explain more about interval training.
There are a lot of suggestions out there online for sure.
Absolutely. But that has been shown scientifically to offer the most benefit to not just fat loss, but cardiovascular health as well as overall health.
And we're all about being healthy.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
So what do you got there in your hand?
I've got a bottle of water right here.
Uh-huh. And this is very key. I think everybody says drink water, right?
Yeah.
But it becomes so, I don't know, it becomes the forgotten truth.
Yeah. Oh, I totally agree. What, I mean, 8 8-ounce glasses of water a day, 64 ounces for everybody on the planet, it just doesn't sound right to me.
No, because what if you're 4 foot? And 99 cents, you know, and you compare to somebody who's 6'5" and 250 pounds. Yeah. You guys need the same amount of water?
No.
64 ounces?
No, heck no. No, it doesn't work that way. I tell people that they should be getting at least 1 ounce of water per pound of body weight.
Why is water so important?
Water is so important because it makes up 75% of your body. Mm-hmm. It aids in repair, and it actually helps move fat through your system. It keeps your body working like a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the best out of your workouts, to get the best out of even when you're not working out, when you're sitting around at your desk, drinking water. I know it gets annoying for most people to have to get up and use the bathroom, and that's their big excuse. But I think that's probably one thing we could all learn to deal with is, you know, letting our body become healthy by drinking the water, if it means getting up every half an hour to use the bathroom.
Hey, you know what? I mean, ultimately, that may start out that way, where mm-hmm. you have to get up and go to the bathroom more often. But as your body begins to balance itself out again, you'll find that that's not as much the case.
You build up a tolerance to that. Yes.
You do. Well, it's not even a tolerance. It's a rebalancing of things. Mm. It's where your body wants to be. It okay. puts water where it's supposed to be and gets rid of it where it's not, right?
And that's so important.
Oh, yeah.
Just balance, yeah.
And, you know, one little tip that I'll give people. Now, this is a little bit of an advanced tip, but I think it's very easy to implement right now.
Okay.
You can actually go out to your health food store and buy a nutritional supplement that's called L leucine. That's L-leucine. This is an amino acid. It's called a branched-chain amino acid. And it is one of the key ways your body determines whether or not there's enough amino acids on board to be able to maintain muscle mass and organ function. So what we want to do is keep the body out of a catabolic state where it's breaking down, right?
Right. We want to maintain our muscle mass.
We want to maintain as much muscle mass and lean mass as we possibly can in our body, right? And the leucine helps us do that. If you can trickle feed your body leucine all day long, then what you end up doing is giving the body the signal that there's plenty of nutrition and it's not going to start breaking down muscle in order to bring more leucine and amino acids into the blood.
Okay.
It's a very useful way to keep your body out of that catabolic state while you're going through some sort of dietary program, because it does take some time to kind of tweak your program enough where you're losing fat and not losing muscle.
Right. Yeah, I know that's a tricky one a lot of people run into. Would you just add the leucine to your water?
Just add it to the water. It mixes up very well. It actually disappears into the water.
Okay.
And just sip it throughout the day. So you can go out and get a powder form. I know that there's one made by Source Naturals. And you just take a scoop or a half a teaspoon, put it in a 20-ounce bottle of water, and sip it that throughout the day.
Okay, easy. Easy enough. That's an easy one to implement. Choosing to become an expert is a tip that you and I both wanted to add in here.
Absolutely. You know,
we're both big on this one.
Oh, yeah. Because there's this mentality that all you got to do in order to lose fat and become a fit person is exercise 20 minutes a day, 3 days a week.
3 times a week, right.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know where this even comes from, because I don't think I've ever met anybody who exercises 20 minutes, 3 days a week and has successfully lost fat. It's like the minimalist mentality. It's like all you got to do is the absolute minimum and you're going to be healthy.
That's what they say, but I don't know, healthy compared to what? So let's all work on being the healthiest.
Absolutely.
If we go to it with that mentality, we'll be doing more than 20 minutes a day, 3 times a week.
I'm telling you.
I'm not saying you have to spend 8 hours in the gym day either.
No, but what I want you to do is I want you to immerse yourself in the fitness lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to become an expert in fitness, okay? You can do that. You don't have to have certain letters after your name. You don't have to be a personal trainer. You can go out and you can read tons of information. You don't have to buy everything. You don't have to accept everything as truth, but you can go out and you can read and you can learn and you can listen to wonderful podcasts like
cutthefatpodcast.com. Start by educating yourself on some of the things we mentioned, the interval training.
Yes.
Taking out refined carbohydrates. If you're not familiar with that, make yourself an expert on the things that we mention.
Learn the why. Learn why you do those things. Why interval training works so well. Why cutting out carbohydrates works so well. We're going to try to educate you about those things in future podcasts. But don't stop there. Go out, get books, sign up for newsletters, go online, seek out the information, crave the information. Want to become the person that people in your life come to learn about health and fitness. When you do that, when you immerse yourself to that level, there's nothing you can do to stop yourself from losing the fat.
That's right. Now, since we're talking about becoming an expert, let's talk about what you should be feeding yourself, how often you should be feeding yourself. I know there's a common misconception, again, about 3 square meals a day. I mean, how many times have you heard that?
Oh, yeah. I think a lot of our listeners already know that people recommend eating 5 to 6 meals to lose fat. I think most people would.
But when you say 5 to 6 meals, do you mean 5 to 6 meals, meals? Or are you talking like 3 meals and 2 snacks? Or
three big meals, 2 snacks is a great way of looking at it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to take it to the next level for you guys, because I know you already know that you want to do this thing that we call grazing, which is basically eating smaller, you know, snacks and meals all day long, right? Mm-hmm. But we're going to take it to the next level for you right now, okay? So you're going to eat 3 main meals. We've already decided that we're going to cut down on the amount of refined carbohydrates in the diet. We're going to try to add more natural foods.
Mm-hmm.
I am assuming you already know what a carbohydrate is, okay? If it had a mother, it's a protein. If it didn't have a mother, it's a carbohydrate. If you can think of it like that, it's a very fast and easy way to know it. You should always be separating your meals that contain carbohydrates by 5 to 6 hours.
Okay.
Okay. So that means if you have breakfast at, let's say, 8 a.m., Okay.
Okay.
You should not have a carb-containing meal until 5 or 6 hours later.
Okay.
Okay.
So a late lunch it would be.
Right.
Okay.
And or if you have lunch and it's before that 5 to 6 hour period, then you can eat protein. You can eat salad.
So these no carbs then is what
right.
you're saying.
No simple carbs.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
No breads, no pastas, no rice, no cake, no candy, even fruits I would avoid.
Okay.
And then when you snack on proteins in
okay.
between meals. Because what we want to do is we want to keep this hormone we call insulin down as low as we can, as long as we can, for as many hours as we can throughout the day.
Okay.
Because insulin shuts down fat burning. And we're going to talk a lot about that in future podcasts. Mm-hmm. But for now, just know, if you're eating a meal with carbohydrates in it, and the only carb I'm not going to include are vegetables.
Okay.
Okay. Any other carbohydrate, such as fruits or breads or things like that.
Okay.
Then you must wait 5 to 6 hours before you have another carb-containing meal because that will allow more fat-burning time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if you snack, snack on protein.
So as long as there's insulin in your system, your body will not burn fat. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay.
It shuts down the fat cells. And we want to keep insulin down as much as we can. And the only way to do that is to cut back on the amount of refined carbohydrates that we take in on
okay.
a daily basis.
Okay, so actually it's very simple.
Yes.
Spread out your carb meals. Snack on proteins.
Yes.
Okay. Easy.
Or vegetables. Vegetables you can snack on too.
Vegetables are a great one. Yeah.
Okay. One final point before we let you guys go for the evening. And that is, this is a bit of an advanced technique.
Okay.
But it's
another
very
advanced
simple.
Tip for the listeners.
Yes. Very simple to implement. And that is, don't eat carbohydrates prior to exercising.
Okay.
Within 3 hours. And why do we do that? Because if you have any insulin in your system, your body will not be able to access the fat cells for energy.
I think that's a really important tip for a lot of people. People who wake up first thing in the morning and hop on the treadmill mm-hmm. and they drink a cup of coffee and have a piece of toast.
Mm-hmm. Not good.
Thinking they need energy for their workout.
Right. First thing in the morning, if you are a morning exerciser,
mm-hmm.
Do it on an empty stomach.
That's absolutely the best way.
Or you have a couple cups of coffee prior to. You talk about this in one of your blog posts.
Yes.
Prior to, but don't add sugar to that coffee.
Right. You can't add the sugar or the creamer.
Right. Just drink it black because that will actually stoke your metabolism mm-hmm. while you're exercising.
Yep. It's a great stimulant.
Absolutely. And so the key here is don't eat carbohydrates within 3 hours of exercising.
Okay.
Okay. Because we need to give the body time to get rid of the insulin.
Okay.
Okay. And once you're finished your exercise, if you can, especially if your goal is fat loss. Now, if your goal is gaining muscle mass, this may not be the right recommendation. But if your goal is fat loss, try not to eat carbohydrates within 2 hours of finishing your exercise. Because, again, what happens if we get off the treadmill and we run over and have a protein bar that has 50 grams of carbs in it?
Right.
You're going to kick insulin into the system, and that's going to immediately shut down the fat-burning process. And we want to take advantage of that fat-burning time as much as possible.
Right. If you're getting up and you're doing the exercise and you're going through all the motions, you might as well make the most of it.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So there you have it. That's I think it's about 8 points that we talked about
yeah,
to get you guys started.
Guide.
Right. Mm-hmm. Very quick start
yeah.
guide. And you guys will want to tune in to the future podcast because we are going to take each concept and really delve into the details of various things. We're going to talk about stuff like that, like why we recommend certain dietary approaches. But here's the deal, all right? I want to really point this out. I'm not expecting any of you guys to accept what we say as the word. What we want you to do is get out there and build your own little personal laboratory and test these things out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we say, okay, don't eat carbs 3 hours before your exercise, give it a try. See what kind of result you get. You know, you did this, right?
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I found it hard to keep weight on when I was doing that. I saw my body fat dropping actually quite rapidly. I was already at a point where, you know, my goal was fat loss, but I implemented that into my program, and well, it worked wonders. And I gave it 3 or 4 weeks, mind you.
Mm-hmm. But one thing that you can see almost immediately if you do this, like if you have insulin on board and you decide to go on a 60-minute jog mm-hmm. on the treadmill, a 60-minute jog is going to be a program that is going to require your body to use fat for energy if you want to be able to maintain that pace, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What people have a tendency to note, and this is just the one example, is that if your insulin levels are high, your body cannot access those fat cells, and so you conk out very easily.
Yeah.
So this is one reason why people don't seem to be able to stay on the treadmill for long if they have a lot of carbohydrates within a 3-hour period of exercise.
Right. Or people say they feel tired after
yeah.
the exercise.
Or before in the middle. Mm-hmm. They just basically – they run out of fuel.
Yeah.
Because their body can't get to the fat stores. Mm-hmm. So that's just one example. But test everything. Don't accept anybody's word as the word.
Right. Become the expert.
Become the expert. Become the expert of you.
That's right. Nobody knows your body better than you do.
Absolutely not. Okay?
Okay. Sounds great. Shall right. we wrap it up for
Let's
the night?
Let's wrap it up. You guys, stay tuned. Next podcast is coming up in a week or so.
Okay.
All
fantastic.
Right. Take care.